excuse me for my voice, but I have never, never seen anything like it. On the road again.
If we wanted to hit mailboxes, we could let Ralph drive. We're the best
of friends. Moron, your bus is leaving. Keep turning our way, and our way
is on the road again. Welcome to this spring practice edition of Excuse Me for My Voices on the Road Home podcast. This is Ken Crawford talking to you on the way home from spring practice on April 16th. The big news of the day was on the injury front. While Longshore is still in his red shirt, for the first time I saw him throwing the ball, although he looked very tight doing it and was only throwing very short passes. He was also running 7-on-7 running plays, handing the ball off. But far bigger news in the injury front is that Vereen is out of the red shirt, leaving only Best as the only player in a red shirt, and he'll be in the red shirt all spring practice. But Vereen's injury was more temporary, and it was unclear whether it would heal in time to get some amount of spring practice in, and it was good to see him today out of the red shirt. I talked to him after practice about it. He says it feels good, it's a little tight, but overall his hamstring's feeling better. And although he was held out of some of the scrimmaging and stuff like that, he's hopeful by Friday or Saturday's practice that he'll be able to go 100%. So it's very good news for the team. Also back was Zach Follett. He'd had a concussion, so it's not a surprise to see him back, but he was back in full force. Overall, this was a practice that the defense really owned the day. They did really an excellent job in all aspects of the game. Their run defense was very good. There were very few plays that broke for long runs. Their pass rush was exceptional. The number of sacks there would have been if they would have allowed them to hit the QB was huge. They probably would have got a sack every fourth or fifth play. Their corner play was excellent. There were a number of interceptions. Saquon had an excellent Hughes-esque interception off and out pattern. Conte had an interception in the end zone that he actually could have run all the way back for a touchdown himself if they hadn't called off the play. Just generally speaking, they had the upper edge. But the only exception was early in the practice, there were three or four blown coverages where particularly Nye and Boateng got behind the defense, and the quarterbacks were able to throw a nice pass out there for what would have been a touchdown. I asked Tedford after the practice what he felt about the team's intensity, and he said he felt good, but it felt to me like intensity was well down from the previous practices I had gone to, both last Wednesday and the open practice last Saturday. Perhaps I had just seen, you know, an exceptionally strong practice. In fact, I noted last Wednesday that the intensity was very high, but it was definitely down. Also of note was generally the poor play by the quarterbacks. Although Riley kind of got his groove going late in the practice, for the most part, there were a lot of missed throws. And the few times there weren't missed throws, the wide receivers were dropping the ball. So overall, again, defense had the much better game, both through their own performance and through the weak offensive performance. The defense was almost entirely playing out of the 3-4 this practice. Last Wednesday, I had mentioned that they were playing a fair amount of 4-3, and in retrospect, actually, I think there was less 4-3 than I thought, but was misreading some numbers and also was deceived by how they were playing the 4-3. They're really playing the 4-3 in what kind of looks like a 5-2, where the three center men on the line of scrimmage are defensive linemen, and then outside of them, but all the way up on the line, are two outside linebackers. The stereotypical 3-4 plays where the outside linebackers are about halfway between the line of scrimmage and where the middle linebackers play. but they were playing it very aggressively, both today and then in retrospect last Wednesday, with Zach Follett on the outside, keeping his pass rush happy position. So it's interesting to see how they're playing the 3-4, and it's a really aggressive 3-4, one that I suspect actually will be very strong in for the outside running game, and also provides a lot of options for pass rushing and blitzes and the such. Some players who got some playing time that I hadn't seen much of till now. Number 43, Charles Johnson, outside linebacker, saw a lot of playing time. I think perhaps he got a number of looks that he otherwise wouldn't have got while Zach Follett was out with this concussion. And he saw a lot of playing time today, even in first-team practice. Perhaps they wanted to go a little light on Follett or something along those lines. But Johnson was in his place frequently, although not all the time. Michael Calvin was also getting a lot of playing time, as was Larrell Cunningham. These two, you know, it's hard to decide where they fit in the depth chart. Jeremy Ross, I didn't see him at all out there today. I didn't ask about his injury status. But Michael Calvin and Larrell Cunningham were the other two backs, along with Nyan Boateng, who are really getting the majority of both the snaps and actually the throws heading their way. It's particularly true for Cunningham, who saw a lot of balls thrown his way and was doing a really good job pulling them in and making some excellent catches. Number 95, Ernest Owusu, continues to have his strong play and was getting a lot of defensive pressure. You could also see Cameron Jordan making a lot of good plays. Rulon Davis did pretty well in individual drills, but when they got into the 11-on-11 matchups, was a little bit more anonymous. That might have been because the offensive line was putting an emphasis on stopping him, but it was really Owusu and Jordan who were making the most of the situation, had great pressure. There was one play where Michael Calvin didn't make a very good play. It was actually an excellent play by Riley later in the practice. It was a deep fade route, and he had to squeeze the ball between the corner and the safety, and he put it up exactly where the ball needed to be. But Calvin was unable to pull the ball in over his shoulder, even though it was exactly where it needed to be. And it was a disappointing play and symptomatic of what I saw a lot of the receivers today, where they weren't hauling in balls that they should have been, and it was frustrating to see. Another defensive player who had a good day was number 27, Charles Amadi. This is someone who's kind of been in the mix for some corner and defensive back playing time, and he got to play a number of snaps today, managed to haul in a pretty darn good interception off, pulling that off of the turf. It was a low ball that nobody was going to get, and he managed to reach down and dive and get to the ball. But he also had pretty good coverage throughout the day when he did get a start. So he really seems to be coming along, and it was impressive to me. He also had a second interception in the end zone off of a deflection, and it was another heads-up play. It was a play where, you know, really you wouldn't have expected anyone to get the ball, but because he was really watching the situation, making sure he got in there, he managed to pick it off on the floater off the deflection. And not that this is any surprise, but another player who continues to show his prowess is Brian Anger. This guy can punt. He punted the ball 70 yards in the air and with wonderful hang time. Just floated the ball up. If I were a returner, I wouldn't know what to do with it. It was such a good punt, other than to just throw up my hand and take the fair catch. What I found also interesting today was what kind of plays were being practiced. You know, every once in a while there'll be a day where it just seems they're focusing on one or two different type of plays as opposed to running the full mix of things. Last Wednesday was a full mix kind of day, so all different kinds of plays. Really different, definitely, you know, a full scrimmage, kind of like on Saturday where everything was tried, all the different things. Well, there seemed to be two plays that were heavily emphasized today. One was, just screen plays in general. One was the wide receiver screen. A lot of quick outs. Michael Calvin saw a lot of those go his way. Also, a lot of running back screens as well, testing whether those would work. And I don't know if this was purposeful, but with the defensive front seven working so hard on blitz packages and getting pressure and all of that, it seemed like the screens, you know, which are a way to deflect that kind of over-blitzing, it seemed like they were trying to focus both on the offense, doing what they needed to do to deflect the blitzing pressure, and also for the defense learning how to recover from the over-pursuit of blitzing when they go to a screenplay. Dubosky got a lot of playing time. It's important to remember that Dubosky is a true freshman who is coming to college early to get practice time. This is someone who should be a senior in high school and is instead taking classes at Cal. So it really says a lot for him that he's doing that, of his talent level, of his intellect. And Tedford commented about how difficult this was, but that it was really going to pay dividends for him and that he has the talent and ability to pull this off. Finally, on the player notes, Brock Manson looked really rough again today. You know, when I went last Wednesday, he seemed to be kind of putting it together, but on Saturday he was having a really rough practice, and then again today he was having a really rough practice. I think he needs to work on fundamentals, work on getting things right. He has potential, but he really needs to focus on fundamentals and his throwing motion and a lot of these things, because if he does, between his mobility and his size and his power, he could be a good quarterback. He's just not quite there yet. A final note, towards the end of practice, I looked up at the scoreboard, and I had the score Cal 14, MSU 20. And, of course, Michigan State is the team's first opponent at home on August 30th. And it seems like that was a little bit of a motivation factor that they were putting that up there, that the Bears needed to rally from behind to try to pull off the victory against their opponent here. It had fourth quarter, one timeout each. Just a humorous side note, but one of those little things, I think, gives the team a little extra ump to try to do a good job. That wraps up this edition of the On the Road Home podcast. Listen in here for some quotes from Vereen and Tedford immediately following the podcast. Thank you for listening.
How do you feel about the intensity of how they're practicing today?
Pretty good. I mean, we're changing tempos up. You know, we go back and forth. So we do some live, we do some thud, some reaction. They're all different tempos that we do. I think they're flying around pretty good, though.
I noticed Vereen's out of the red shirt today.
Yeah, he did some things. I don't think he's quite ready yet to go all out for the whole practice, but he did do some things live, and so now it's just time for him to get back in shape and work him into practice, not overload him all at once.
What do you think Vereen needs to improve on to get to that next step, be a starter down the road?
Well, I think he's going to be a strong contributor now. I mean, he's really shown through bowl practice, through the scrimmage we had late in the year, that he's very capable of contributing right away. Some of those same things, though, the speed of the game, how it happens, how to see things, pass protection, you know, those type of things. And that just happens with reps, you know. So he's losing some key reps right now because he can't do it. So hopefully this next week and a half he's able to take those. Today he got in pass protection a little bit, did a pretty good job. I expect it to be better next time.
So like for a guy like Dubosky to come right into the university, out of high school early, what's that transition like for a guy like that? I mean, that's
an eye-opener.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, his eyes are about that big. And, you know, he goes in there and there's a lot to learn, number one. Yeah. Number two, the speed of the game is just happening so much faster. The physicalness of the game, linebackers coming off the edge, pass protection. There's just so much to learn, the transition from high school to Division I football. But it's great that he's here now because he can get that under his belt. I'm sure he'll be better in the fall.
There were a lot of protection breakdowns today, it seemed, in scrimmaging, that getting to the quarterback easily. think that was more the defense or the offense?
It's a little bit of both. The defense is doing a good job, but, you know, communication, you know, you got a lot of different combinations up there playing and stuff like that. And that's what spring's for. You put it all in, you know, you want to make mistakes in the springtime because that's what you teach us off of. So we'll watch the tape. They'll learn from it, you know, and then, you know, hopefully in the fall, it's reteaching, but it becomes more natural to them. So that's what spring's all about, is to make mistakes and get better from them.
How big is this challenge, losing your three starting receivers, tight end, running back, and working all these new pieces in there? I mean, that's...
Well, there's no question that's a challenge, and that's something that coming into to spring football was a situation. One of our goals is to get the receivers up to speed. Unfortunately, we don't have, you know, the two running backs in Shane and Java. Java has a little bit of experience, but again, that's what spring's for. Tracy's done a good job of filling in, but that's what, you know, coming into the spring, we felt like we needed to get the receivers used to the speed of the game. Again, you know, making mistakes, get them game type situations. Mm-hmm. You know, like on Saturday, we had some drop balls, we had some missed assignments, we had some things like that. But again, it's just all a learning process. But that is a focus of what we're trying to get done, is make sure those guys get up to speed.
And how about the secondary coach? They seemed to play really well today. A couple of nice picks.
They did. They did a nice job. You know, Sid, both those corners, Sid and Chris, they have a lot of experience. And, you know, Kevin, you know, threw a couple picks today, and it was, you know, and he's still getting experience as well. So it's all a learning process. But the corners, playing against those corners, you know, when you practice against good guys every day like those corners, it's going to make us better. But the corners are playing pretty well.
You're out of the red shirt, and I'm sure that feels good.
Feels great. Yeah.
How's the injury feeling?
I mean, it's the first time back out. I mean, you know, at the beginning of practice, it felt great. You know, you start to get going, it starts to tighten up just because I haven't been out here running and everything. But I feel great about it. The pain is fine. I'll deal with it. I'll be back out here Friday.
So what's been the hardest part of practice and, you know, coming up to speed and all of that?
Probably just getting used to the speed of the game again, because I mean, once you're out for a little bit, you kind of lose a little bit, you just forget. So I've just been trying to really see things while you're in motion, while you're actually in the play.
Looking, you know, like towards next season, what do you think the things you need to learn about the offense the most? Where you're weakest in the offense?
I think where I'm weakest in the offense personally is protection, you know, pass protection, reading the defenses, and so I'm gonna work real hard on that, trying to get better with my reads, pass reads, and hopefully, you know, we'll see. Turn out well.
Where do you think you're strongest at? Where do you think you're playing best?
I think I'm playing best as far as run reads go, and as far as you know, making cuts and everything like that when I get the ball, making plays. So we'll just see. I got to get better in a lot of areas, and so I'm just going to keep working.
Talk about last year to this year, how the changes have been, both for you personally and then what you've seen in the team that's different.
Definitely for me personally, I think the biggest change is confidence. The confidence I have in myself to go out there, you know, play fast and everything. I think in the team, I think we have a closer team. I think we've really rallied around Coach Tepper's new philosophy about a strong team and courage and all these things that we've been taught. So that's the biggest change.
You know, right now the depth chart shows you as either as you or Slocum is in the number two spot. How do you see that playing out? Do you still have a hope that you'll get the starting job for the fall, or?
Well, you know, however the cards are dealt, that's what you gotta do. I'm just gonna go out there and just do my best. Just the Tracy when John gets back, go on. I'll just be battling, doing the best, and it'll be whoever works out best for the team. That's what we play.
Obviously, with both you and Best injured, maybe you guys have talked a little bit about the frustrations of that.
Yeah, definitely. We've definitely been frustrated with a lot of things. You know, just watching practice itself is frustrating and hard to do sometimes. But we're anxious to get back. He's anxious. So it'll be exciting.
When do you think you're going to be able to, you know, do, you know, you didn't do many of the scrimmaging today. You think you'll be able to do that on Friday? Or?
I think Friday, Saturday. If not, then the next week. I'm right there. Just need a little more conditioning on the leg. On the road again.